Welcome to the International Schools Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Taylor, and on the podcast, we discuss all aspects of technology and life in international schools, with new episodes live every 2 weeks. We focus on people currently working in international schools, and we talk about life in their current country, and then we dive into some specific topics. The podcast is sponsored by AppsEvent. We're a Google for Education partner and made up of former educators, all experts in helping schools integrate Google into their schools and classrooms. All training is customized for every school to make sure it has lasting impact. We're also experts on online virtual Google training, and we can deliver all our certification boot camps and training completely online to schools. We have teams in Europe and the Middle East, Asia and the US, and we can help you wherever you are. Check it out over at appsevents.com. We're also delighted to say we're now an ISTE partner, and we're delivering the ISTE Certified Educator worldwide with our subsidiary, AE Learning. ISTE certification is a pedagogy-focused, vendor-neutral, professional certification aimed at educators wishing to transform their edtech practice. We run two-day certification boot camps, which are amazing fun, great networking, and will give you a huge boost both to your career and for your school. Get all the info at aelearninglab.com. Finally, the podcast is brought to you by Acer for Education. People ask us what Chromebooks and Windows laptops we recommend for schools, and after literally trying them all, we always recommend Acer. If you'd like to get more information, please just leave your email at gg.gg/Acer Education and we'll get straight back to you. We go to Acer HQ in Taiwan every year to be part of product discussions, and they are genuinely the best thought out, cost effective and durable devices out there. And now, on to the interview. Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm delighted to be talking to Mel Varga from the International School of Macau. So welcome to the podcast, Mel.
Hi, Dan. Great to be here and talking with you.
Yeah, too. So Mel, we've met you, I think, first time we met. We ran an event at your school, I think, in 2015, actually. I was just looking at it. But you came to an event, one of our other events. Was it Bangkok you came to originally? One of our summits?
So long ago, I can't remember. It could have even been, could be Bangkok, Taiwan.
Yeah, Taiwan you came to as well. Another one of your colleagues came to Taiwan, I remember as well.
Yeah, so there's been a few, but yeah, it's been a while. It has been a while.
Well, we're going to chat a bit about school closures and reopening, because you guys are obviously making plans to reopen, so it'd be great to do that. But quickly, I want to just chat a little bit about Macau, because Macau is kind of an interesting place. It's an autonomous province. It's close to Hong Kong, and it used to be a Portuguese colony. So, I mean, I would love to talk a bit about what it's like to live there as an educator. So how long have you been there?
I've been there about 11 years now, and yeah, we really love the place. I mean, we came here, my kids were quite young, and, we just fell in love with the place, and it's very safe, very clean, some really good food here. People are quite nice. When we first came, it was just when things were starting to really boom here in Macau. And so a lot of the big casinos that are up and running now, either didn't exist or were just, were holes in the ground. And so we've seen a lot of growth and change over the last 10, 11 years, but overall it's been a really positive experience for me and my family.
Yeah, I went to Macau in 1994. I was after university, I was traveling around, and a friend of mine lived in Hong Kong. We went there. And back then there was just kind of one, I think there was one casino, and it was a real kind of crappy old casino. I don't know if it's still there, but it was like, everyone used to go there for gambling, because there was no gambling in Hong Kong or mainland China, but it was one or two casinos. It was really like nothing like it is today.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. It's called Lisboa, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
And it's still here. And but it's really, maybe more of a novelty. It's been dwarfed by bigger, fancier, glitzier hotels and casinos. So right now, actually not very far from the school is, we have a what's called the Cotai Strip. And it's very much like the Strip in Las Vegas. So we have the Parisian, and we have the Venetian, and we have a number of other hotels along that strip. So it's very reminiscent of being in Vegas. And
when you live there, do you ever go to the casinos? I mean, do you go there? Because I imagine there's some good restaurants and stuff. I mean, do people who live there go to like the restaurants and things, or do you just tend to go to more local places?
We tend to go to more local places. Occasionally we will hop into the hotels or the casinos typically for, you know, maybe a bigger dinner, a fancier dinner. So some, yep. There's some amazing places that offer great food. Bit of shopping too. There's some more Western stores in some of the hotels and casinos. So we tend to go in there for that, but not really so much for gambling. I'm not really a gambler. I don't think this would be a good place to live if you were a gambler.
I don't gamble at all. But
it does provide pretty interesting entertainment. You know, we can, if I happen to find myself there, I'll maybe watch a table or watch some tables for half an hour. And it's just amazing how much money people throw down. You know, it's just unreal.
And how many international schools are in Macau?
That's a tricky one. It really depends who you ask. You know, some people consider us the only true international school. There's other schools that are somewhat international. Now there's one, maybe about a 5-10 minute trip down the road, that's kind of has a British curriculum.
Yep.
And another school that offers, not sure if it's a North American curriculum. I'm not quite sure. So there's anywhere from 1 to 3, depending on who you talk to.
Got it. And what is it like there? I mean, do most people, like the parents of most of the kids at the school, most of them involved in the casino industry? Is that kind of the big industry there, or is there other stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say it's either directly related to tourism or a definite support industry. So yeah, we do have a lot of parents in the hotels and casinos. Others are involved in airlines, helicopters, etc. But those are kind of the traditional industries that we find our parents in.
Yeah. And what do people, obviously you're close to Hong Kong, you can take a ferry there. I think it's like 30 minutes, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, it's about 55 minutes to Hong Kong by ferry. And now we have the bridge. So they've built this amazing bridge that's about, I think, maybe 20, 26 kilometers long that joins Hong Kong and Macau and Zhuhai. So that's quite the marvel. And it's neat to take the bus over that to some lovely views if you get a nice clear day. So
yeah,
unfortunately,
do people go to Hong Kong a lot? I mean, I guess the people that probably without kids and stuff probably go there a lot, or is it something people don't do? I'm curious.
Oh yeah. A lot of people will go to Hong Kong on a regular basis. I think if you're a young teacher or single, Hong Kong certainly offers a lot more, fun and maybe a more interesting lifestyle, let's say, than Macau. Macau is a little bit quieter, and I think it's more suited towards families. But there's just so much to see and do in Hong Kong, the shopping, everything. So we're actually shut out of Hong Kong right now. So we can't travel. We can't travel to Hong Kong, and then people in Hong Kong can't travel here. So we're stuck at the moment.
And can you travel to mainland China, or is that the same?
That is also closed off at the moment. So right. Yeah, we're just in a real holding pattern here, anticipating maybe something happening in early June. We're hoping people are getting a little bit of cabin fever here. And so, you know, just to get even to Hong Kong for a day or two would be a nice break from just being in Macau for the last 3.5 months.
Sure. So let's talk about the closures. Like, how did it, we spoke to Tim in Hong Kong recently on the podcast. How did it go in Macau? Like, were you anticipating the schools all closing, and did you have plans for it at your school? Like, how did it all come about?
Yeah, we really didn't have any plans in place. It came rather quickly. It was so late January was Chinese New Year. So everybody was probably had travel plans, and myself, we were traveling to Canada. So I think maybe 2 or 3 days before we left, we heard that the school was going to be shut.
Yep.
And that all the schools were going to be shut. And so that was just like, wow. And so we didn't have a lot of time to prepare. Then people were off on holidays or whatever. And so I think when we got back, to be honest, the first, you know, week or two, we were kind of flying by the seat of our pants, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
And how have you been handling the teaching? Have you been using like Google tools like Meet and things like that? Or what have you been doing in terms of your classes for online?
The big tools for us have been Classroom. Everybody from grade 4 to 12 uses Classroom heavily. So that's been a lifesaver. We use Seesaw from kindergarten to grade 3. So that's been heavily used as well. In terms of video conferencing, it's been a mix of Google Meet and Zoom. Meet is a little bit harder because some of our students are in mainland China. So
yep.
Really wouldn't work for them. There are some difficulties. So the safe option was to just use Zoom. And so we just have a mix of that. And we didn't, you know, tell teachers you had to use this, you had to use that. We just said, you know, you need, these are the tools you can use, and you pick which one you want to use to connect with your students.
Got it. So do you actually have students that commute every, that live in mainland China and come to Macau to the school then?
Yes, we do. There's a few. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I would say there's a, you know, a few dozen, I'd say at least, yeah, that cross the border every day and drive over to the school and get dropped off and, you know, do their thing and back home at night.
Wow. So when you said you had a mix of Zoom and Meet, was that, could teachers choose themselves what they do, or was it down to, did school sort of centrally dictate it?
Yeah, the teachers got to choose which were those two tools they could use. So like I say, we have some using Meet, some using Zoom, and that was fine. Really depended on their level of comfort and their circumstance, which one they chose. Yeah. And so, they've both been working really well. You know, we found that at the beginning, we tried to do maybe too much, too many face-to-face lessons, too many pre-recorded activities, you know, stuff on Classroom. And so after about a week and a half, we just surveyed the teachers. We surveyed the parents and surveyed the students and just said, you know, how are you feeling right now? Where is your stress level? What's working well? What maybe do we need to tweak? You know, where are the pain points? And so we had some really, really good feedback from all those groups. And I think that helped the administrators at the school really, you know, formulate maybe a stronger plan that worked for everybody.
Yep. So in terms of the reopening, can you walk us through the plans? Like, did you, and where you are and how that all came about? Like, do you know, because I'm very curious, because I think you guys are among the earliest schools reopening from what I understand in the world.
Yeah, we were just all waiting and hoping, like probably most people are. And basically it was just waiting for the government to give us the heads up that school was going to reopen. So they were very coy about giving a date because the situation is quite fluid. But eventually we got to the point where we haven't had any cases in Macau for probably a couple of weeks. And then they said, okay, they were going to open up schools again for high school students starting on May the 4th. So we had a 2-week heads up period to prepare for those students to come back.
Right. And had all your teachers stayed in Macau, or did any of them leave and travel elsewhere?
I would say the strong majority stayed in Macau. You know, we did move our spring break in anticipation of an earlier start. That didn't happen, but so our spring break moved to the first week of March. So a number of people did travel, but I think maybe on March about 10th, that's when this place just shut down completely and went into a really strong lockdown. So I'm going to say the majority made it back. I think maybe one or two got stuck. And that's kind of where we are right now.
So what are your dates again for reopening? What was the reopen date?
So high school came back May the 4th. And middle school students will be back May 11th. And then primary students, we don't know yet.
So for the high school, have you opened, like, what measures have you brought into the school to sort of COVID? Like, is there any social distancing? Are chairs more spread out? Is there more, you know, sanitation stations, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the regulations to reopen were quite long, yeah. I can say, as stipulated by the government. So basically anybody who wants to enter the school has to complete a health declaration. So that's on an app on your device. So we have to do that each day. Just asks if we've had any symptoms like fever, cough, those kinds of things. So we have to complete a declaration before we can get in the building. And then as we get into the building, we have temperature sensors. So we have to do a temperature check. And then, within the school itself, there's quite a few things that we've had to undertake. So classrooms, desks are spaced out so that there's a good meter and a half between them. In our ICT labs, where things are maybe a little bit closer, we've had to remove every second desktop just to make sure that we have some distancing between the stations. We provide antiseptic wipes for like mice, keyboards, etc. We do have staggered lunches. So not all the students will have lunch at the same time. So everybody's coming at a different time. There's not as much open seating as we normally would have. We had a few kind of big common areas where students would just pile into and have lunch, but now those have been totally closed. And there's a few tables available in some of our outdoor areas, but most students will eat in their home room.
Right. And yeah. What about, have all the students come back? Because let's say if you've only got like, say, half the number of students in the classroom, have you been able to run classes as normal?
Yeah, I'm going to say the vast majority have come back. It's interesting because I have a daughter in grade 12 and, just talking with her and her friends not that they didn't mind the online. I think there are certain aspects of it they really enjoyed, but I just think, it's an opportunity to get out of the house and you're in a building with a lot of other people. And for the teachers too, there's just having that energy when you're in a school and we've all missed that. So that it's been really nice to be back with and seeing students again.
Could you a lot of schools, teachers stayed working in the school as normal through the closure, which I think I would have done. Was that something you did or did you have to work from home the whole time?
It was optional. Well, no, let me clarify that. For, I would say, majority of the teachers, there was no option. They had to stay at home. Yeah. The government was quite strict that the school had to be closed and only people that were deemed important for some reason would be able to come to the school. So I'm part of the leadership team at the school, so I could come and go. So I had a little more flexibility and I would come in probably 2 or 3 times a week just to, so I could get out of the house.
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, people live in pretty small places in Macau, don't they, as well? People have apartments, I guess, most of the time.
Yeah, we're all living in apartments. So, I guess depending on your circumstance and the size of your family, it could be a bit small, especially if you have a studio one. We're lucky we got a bigger apartment, so it wasn't too bad. But
yeah, it's really same thing here in Czech Republic. Most people, especially in Prague, live in apartments, and it is hard, definitely. Cool. So elementary school next week or the 11th? That's right. Is our plans going ahead well? Are you making any additional plans you didn't have to make for high school?
No, pretty much the plans are the same. For middle school, they tend right now they are located in one floor of our south wing. And so that floor is always really busy. And so we've taken a few extra steps. So down their hallway, there's kind of a, much like you'd see on a highway, there's a divider. So we just have traffic going in one direction on this side of the hallway and then coming back on the other side of the hallway. And we're just going to be really mindful of students lingering in the hallways and just, it's you're in there, you get your locker and you keep moving and just not, chatting around with your friends. So it'll be interesting next week to see how that works. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. What about sports? Are you doing any sports or is that all being stopped completely?
Yeah, sports have been completely shut down. All our extracurricular activities, after school activities have been stopped. We're actually providing 1 hour tutorials after school for the month of May, just to provide a little bit more face-to-face time between the teachers and the students. And so, yeah, we're doing school light right now, so no extras.
Right. Well, look, Mel, that was really, really interesting chat. It's good to speak to someone who's actually gone back, which is great. And it sounds like it was relatively, I'm sure there's a lot of behind the scenes hassle, but it sounds like it's gone pretty smoothly for you in terms of the comeback.
It has. It was a lot of work definitely behind the scenes. I mean, there's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of moving parts. I think we're lucky because Macau is so small and we feel like we're in this little safe bubble and we've been kind of closed off from the world. So there's not really any worry about returning back to school. Maybe if I was in another part of the world and students were coming back in, I'd probably feel different.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk as always and all the best with the reopening.
Thanks, Dan. Take care.